Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Wednesday. We're live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Urban Meyer today. Tom Tolbert, Nick Wright stopping by today. Bucky Brooks stopping by today. All sorts of interesting stuff. Somebody who's been very critical of me called me names and stuff. Use swear words. I will support in 15 minutes. Joy Taylor's joining me. She hopefully doesn't use swear words to describe me. How are you, Joy?
Who was talking about you, Colin?
Well, that's called a tease in the business. Very good tease.
We'll see how that goes. I saw you had some tequila last night.
I had one margarita. I'm not a big tequila fan. Cinco de Mayo celebration. And I had one and a half margaritas and some unbelievable chicken burritos, which were great.
Very nice.
And we had music going on all day. And then we watched the UFO special at night. It was great.
Sounds like a good day.
It was. Let me start with this. Just because we're dealing with a pandemic does not mean states will not compete. They'll compete. We had states competing for masks and ventilators. They're going to compete for sports. UFC is going to fight. They don't care what you think in California. They went to Florida. So Notre Dame's athletic director yesterday, he's got a lot of power. And he said, you know what? I'm not sure what's going to happen. But some conferences may go. Some may not. Some teams within conferences may not. Some may go. But we're probably going to have a season.
I can't say enough about extent to which they're working closely together, spending time together, communicating with each other. And I think that's the most important thing. It gives us a chance to come up with an overarching policy and an ability to start together. Having said that, I think we all recognize that there is a significant chance that that may not be possible, that either because states or individual colleges and universities take different approaches, you can't produce a season where all members are participating in Division I football in the same way.
Yes. The SEC, and I've stayed away from predictions, the SEC is going to have a college football season. Period. That's my one prediction. Joy has been here. I've said, only thing I know about this thing, social distancing does appear to work. I don't know anything else. But I'm going to make, and I've stayed away from guessing if leagues are going to start or not. I think it's ridiculous when you've got people predicting in May, the first week, what's going to happen in the third week in September. As I said before, you watch a local weather forecast, if they go past 4 or 5 days, the accuracy falls off the table. They have radar. How do I know what's going to happen in September? Do we get medicines? Do we get a vaccine? They're fast track. What? I don't know. I don't even think epidemiologists agree on half of this stuff from what I read. But I'll make one prediction. The SEC, it matters more in the South. That's their slogan. They're going to have a season. I don't know about the Pac-12, but why should the SEC have to wait for the Pac-12? Even within conferences like the Big Ten, Rutgers in New Jersey, they've been hit hard by the virus. Nebraska, not so much. Nebraska's like, we're all in. It's a recruiting advantage. I know, it's unseemly, right? Competition. But we competed for business post 9/11, and you're going to compete during the virus for business. States will compete. Florida's opened up. Let's go. Southern governors, mostly conservative. Let's go. California, Pac-12. I don't even think he'd get much pushback. I think Southern states will pull away from the rest of the country in college football like they haven't already. They'll tell recruits, we play. We're going to play. And so, and am I comfortable with it? Listen, I can watch New York and be horrified by it, but I also live in a coastal city in California, 36,000 people. We've had one death. I don't know anybody that has it. I don't know anybody that knows anybody that's had it. So our life is different right now from the difficulty and the situation in other parts of the country. Not everybody's living through this thing similarly. Utah and Wyoming are different than New York and New Jersey and Michigan. So, but when I hear this about college football, my takeaway on all this is it's going to be uneven. 130 college football programs. Some are big state schools, some are private academies, some are small schools, some love football, some like Duke or basketball schools. 130 programs, I think 80 potentially could play. 80, that's it. 80. And I'll watch every single game that's on TV. So during the virus, A, not everybody is suffering through it the same kind of intensity. They're just not. And the second thing is states compete. God, they were competing for ventilators. And as gross and uncomfortable as that is, they're going to compete for football. You know it, and I know it. They're going to compete on this stuff. And I'll get to the UFC more after the break. Let me segue to The Last Dance. So I was rewatching something yesterday, and I've said I like Michael Jordan more now than ever. I like him more during The Last Dance. I think he's a man's man. He doesn't back down from anything. What he said he meant, he's very true to his word. He doesn't worry about social media preening or posturing or positioning or validation. I like it. Everybody else is worried about that. He's not. And Michael Jordan is one of the five best basketball players I've ever seen play. In order, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, and Larry Bird are the best basketball players I've ever seen. I do not count centers. Why would I count the least skilled position on the floor? It's not about titles. I don't rank these guys based on titles. I'm just telling you what my eyes have seen. Michael's the best player. LeBron's a very close second. Magic a close third. Kobe fourth. And Larry Bird fifth. Centers generally aren't great ball handlers. They're not great shooters. They're not great passers, although Arvydas Sabonis and Bill Walton were. And I am totally comfortable saying that basketball has moved away from centers, and I like it. Thankfully, it's moved away from centers. One of the things I like about The Last Dance, the least interesting people are centers. Basketball and no sport should be controlled. Rules should not help the least skilled people. Should football be dominated by offensive linemen? Should baseball be dominated by a DH? Should hockey be dominated by defensemen and fighters? No. I think one of the smartest things the NFL ever did was go back and erase the no-catch rule, because the most skilled football players in America often are wide receivers. And the NFL said, you know what? We want to make rules so wide receivers can score more touchdowns. And I think it was brilliant, and I think the game is much more enjoyable. The NBA did the same thing. Our most skilled people are ball handlers and shooters. Let's take out the hand check. They took out the hand check 16 years ago. 8 of the last 16 years, guards have won the MVP. In that stretch, 0 centers have won the MVP. Dirk Nowitzki's not a center. Stop it. Kevin Durant lies about his height. He says he's shorter than he is. He doesn't want to be seen as a center. So I think leagues are really smart when they craft rules to elevate the most skilled, and they craft rules to punish the least skilled. I think the NFL's done a brilliant job, and the NBA has never been faster. There's never been more great shooters. There's never been more great ball handlers. There's never been more great passers. I love getting rid of the hand check. I didn't like the New York Knicks and their mythology where 3 of the 5 guys couldn't shoot a jumper from here to the window. That's not good basketball. One of the reasons I like the NBA and the NFL going forward, they've figured it out. Create rules to elevate your most skilled athletes. In my life, a center's never been the best passer in the league, has never been the best shooter in the league, has never been the best ball handler in the league. And my 5 favorite players, and Last Dance has cemented this, all non-centers. I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to use a genetic gift if you're 7'2". I'm not saying it. But the new NBA, the messaging is, hey, big fella, you better learn to shoot or you'll be coming off the bench and use sparingly.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So the UFC is going to fight this weekend, and Dana White and I have had our disagreements through the years. A couple years ago, I had some comments on him, and he fired back and swore and stuff. But I made a point to go back to a couple of UFC fights in person, and I walked up to him and said, listen, man, you know, you and I can disagree, but sports needs you. And one of the reasons I just saw Dana White at a boxing match in Vegas. He stopped by our table. And Dana and I don't always agree, but I respect the hell out of him, and he's a maverick. And mavericks push back, and mavericks don't worry about Twitter, and mavericks are strong, and they're alphas, and we need them. And the UFC is going to host a fight this week. I've always thought the UFC-Disney marriage is very interesting because Disney is very corporate, very concerned about his image. Its stock price has tumbled, and they're very much a family brand and the Lion King. And I always thought Fox and UFC were a really good fit because Fox is the Simpsons, Family Guy, a little Deadpool. You know, we're a little edgier at Fox, and I think UFC is a real classic maverick brand. That's why I think the WWE works on Fox, because the WWE and Vince McMahon, they don't care what you think, and they're coming back. And UFC doesn't care what you think. They're coming back. People often ask me, what do you think of Barstool Sports? And I'm like, well, thank God for them. I don't have to agree with all their content, but A, they do a lot of good content, and B, they're mavericks. They push back. And this is why I think the NFL flourishes. Adam Silver's got to tiptoe around everything, and the baseball's got to tiptoe around their unions, and the NFL's like, hey, we're going to survive the blowback from Twitter. We're going to hold free agency. Home run. We're going to deal with the blowback on Twitter about the draft. Home run. If you can deal with the initial blowback from social media, and most corporations don't want to do that. Big corporations, they've got a lot to lose, and they get very timid about this stuff. And I think there's a big space in America for WWE. NASCAR's always had a little rebel to it. The NFL is unique. It's big and corporate and has a little rebel to it. Not a ton, but enough to withstand the blowback on the draft. And so these kind of people that challenge the status quo are important. That's where you get innovation from. Leaders, not followers, from people willing to push the envelope and roll the dice. And so I disagree a lot with Dana White on things through the years, but I respect the hell out of him. And he said, California, all right. I mean, there's a story out today. He's like, all right, we understand, Disney, you had a bad week. We're going back and doing this thing. And I thank God that we have these mavericks in sports. Thank God all of our governors don't act the same way. Whether it's federalism, I like the opportunity to states to do their own thing and sports to do their own thing. And, you know, there used to be newspapers, TV, that was it. Now you've got this massive tyranny of the mob social media component, and it scares corporations, and everybody's petrified to get ripped. And you need strong people like Dana White and Vince McMahon to say, hell with you. We'll just move it where we can do it. We're going on with this thing. So I'll watch the fight this weekend. Justin Gaethje's a very good fighter. He's on the card this weekend, and he talked about fighting during this virus.
He's going to bring a sense of normalcy to people, and, you know, I'm proud to be a part of it. You know, the opportunity to inspire. People need to be inspired right now. They need to not let themselves, you know, become depressed, emotional, because they can't control what's going on right now. We got to ride it through, and they need to be inspired in a way, and we can do that.
All right.
The opportunity.
Yeah, they're going for it. And I like living in a place where not everybody has to act the same and think the same, even during an ugly crisis. UFC, tip of the cap, is I do think there are sports like golf, like tennis, like boxing, like UFC, like NASCAR, where you have one component or two combatants fighting, no fans, one referee, they wear a mask. Let's not pretend basketball, where you share a basketball, and UFC are the same thing. They're not.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I have a phone, and on my phone are a lot of NFL contacts. And I think Joy and I both have contacts. I take a lot of pride in it, and I always think it's fun when I say something over and over and over, and then you see like a veteran reporter come out and unveil it, and it kind of, you know, it validates my sources, which I know are right to begin with. But I've said this for years, and I've been saying it a lot recently. Big Ben is a super talented Hall of Fame level quarterback. He's not totally committed. I have real questions about this year for the Steelers. He got hurt. He's not a workout fiend. And you'll get some occasional pushback. But Jay Glazer doesn't make stuff up and tends to lean toward pro-player opinions, not anti-player opinions. So he was in The Athletic, Jay Glazer's mailbag this week. Somebody said, I feel like the Steelers are a sleeper team this year. The offense suffered hard because of Ben's injuries, but assuming he's back plus his fitness, he should be very competitive. And Jay Glazer said, first of all, let's not put fitness in Ben Roethlisberger. I love this. So Glazer says, don't put fitness and Ben Roethlisberger together. They're allergic to each other. There is no fitness in Ben Roethlisberger. His idea of a great offseason workout is a yoga session, playing golf, and drinking beer. Pow! This is what my sources have been saying for years, is that he's talented, but he's not really committed. There's three quarterbacks in this league that are next level committed. Brady, Russell Wilson, and Drew Brees. It is a 12-month commitment. Big Ben, it's a 16-game commitment. You see this all over pro sports. Some people, the late Tony Gwynn, he watched more film on how to hit than anybody in his sport for years. He was way ahead of the curve on that, and he lived for it. We've seen in The Last Dance how much film Rodman watched. But Rodman wasn't totally committed. His lifestyle, big drinker. You know, I mean, Rodman was, you know, depended on the moment, the team, and the day where he was emotionally all in. Russell is, Brees is, Brady is. But one of the reasons there's teams I am really into. I think Baltimore's the best team in the league. And I'm not sure it's close right now. I think Baltimore's the best team in the league. I thought they were really good last year. I thought their free agency was great. They had cap space because they're not paying Lamar anything. I thought their draft was really, really good. They added depth, maybe one starter. I think they're well coached. Lamar Jackson's gotten better every year. He's obviously a workout freak. Ironic, coincidental, whatever word you want, that he is a workout freak committed and Ben's not in the same division and they're big rivals. But I like Cleveland to make the playoffs, not Pittsburgh, because I think Baker Mayfield kind of got crapped on last year and got embarrassed and humiliated. And I also think Baker Mayfield looked fat last year. I thought he looked heavy. I think Baker has had a great offseason. I think Baker Mayfield's going to be totally in. I think Baker Mayfield is going to play with his hair on fire. And he's got a real coach who's going to demand things from him. And they had a great draft and a nice free agency period. So this just sort of accentuates. I mean, think about this. When you get older, it takes longer to recover. Like most of you, I could play basketball in college at the gym, rip an ankle up. 2 days later, I'm playing. I mean, I banged my toe the other day on my deck. I mean, I couldn't move for 2 days. My body just doesn't, you know, it's all that tequila and the margaritas. It doesn't heal as quickly. So Big Ben is 38, comes off an injury, and he's not in great shape. The reason guys can overcome injuries, a couple years ago, Brady got hurt during the season and won the Super Bowl because Tom's in such amazing shape. He makes his body heal quickly. The way he eats, the way he trains, the way he's committed, the sleep, everything, plyometrics. So it's interesting because Jay's not a guy that likes to pound on athletes, but it's a funny line, and he's right. That's why I have my questions on the Steelers. Big Ben's not in great shape. You know, he just mentioned the other day he's been thrown with pain for years. Why? Brady's old. He's not throwing with pain. I just don't know how committed Big Ben is and how his body will respond.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So I was sitting here this morning thinking, I was reading a story. A couple days ago, Joy and I talked about this, that half of the top 10 picks teams didn't pick up their fifth-year option. And I thought, you know, of course they didn't. It's a reality. And there are things in sports that one of the reasons I don't get mad, sports doesn't make me mad. And if you go to Twitter, it's just mad people all the time because you get mad based on expectations. You just have to be honest about stuff. I mean, if your parents are 5'2" and 5'3", you're not playing in the NBA. Just not going to. It's okay. It's just you're not going to be playing in the NBA. You can give me an outlier. It's just not going to happen. And so today, I thought I'd do a segment, the five truths in sports that I've been reminded of recently, and the segment's going to be called Don't At Me, Bro. Okay, don't at me, bro. I'm just being honest. I've been doing this 30 years. I've seen it. Don't at me, bro. Are you ready to go? Here we go. Number one, the SEC's got better football players than everybody. Get over it. And so at the end of any college football season, when I have to make a decision on a one-loss team and an undefeated Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC team, I'm going to almost always take the SEC team. They get better players out of high school, more first-round picks, more national titles. Look at their bowl records for the last 10 years. I don't even think it's the best coach sport. Sometimes I think Ed Orgeron won a national title. That's because LSU's got so many players. The reality is Ohio State is the only cold weather program in America that even looks like an SEC program. When you watch Ohio State play, their corners, their pass rushers, you're like, oh, that's an SEC football team. That doesn't mean that Pete Carroll's Trojans couldn't beat them or Dabo Sweeney's Clemson Tigers can't. But let's just be honest. In the footprint of the South, they've got far more great high school football players, and the Urban Meyers and Brian Kelly have to go south. Those schools don't have to go north to get players. The SEC's better. They're going to be better this year, next year, and every year. Just own it. Don't at me, bro. Number two, 75% of the players that your team drafted are not even going to be on the roster in 5 years. This whole league is designed best quarterback, best coach, equals chance for a Super Bowl. And that everybody's going to lie about this, but 75% of the teams in the NFL have no chance to win the Super Bowl this year because you don't have a good enough coach and you don't have a good enough quarterback. I mean, you can eliminate 75% of the league. I was looking at a stat this morning where they were talking about of the 120 players between 2011 and 2016 draft classes that had their options exercised, and most don't, 40% of those players did not get a second deal with their original team. Your draft, this is why I don't give out draft grades. I give out off-season grades where I look at your coaching staff, your free agency, and your first two draft picks. I've had GMs who I respect tell me, by the fourth round pick, you're crossing your fingers. You got no idea if they can play. And these are professionals. Number three, most NBA star players don't want to live in the city they play. I'm sorry, Sacramento. I'm sorry, Detroit. I'm sorry, Milwaukee. I'm sorry, Cleveland. And I'm sorry, Indianapolis. If you were young, rich, and famous, where would you want to live? You want to live in Los Angeles or Miami? I'm sorry. Every time there's a free agent opportunity, you know, these fans out east on the Eastern Seaboard, how many free agents want to play in Washington, Philadelphia, New York, Boston? If you don't engineer a trade, they never pick you because your weather's lousy and it's a winter league. The bottom line, October through March, it's cold everywhere. It's not in Phoenix, not in Los Angeles, not in Miami. Most NBA stars, they're not going to say it to be jerks. They're nice kids. They don't want to play in the cities they're playing in. It's a winter league. No thanks. Don't at me, bro. A number four, hockey's never going to be that popular in the United States. It's lousy on TV. We don't bet it. 99% of people have never played it. It's Canada's sport. And let's be honest about it. It's expensive for young kids. So it eliminates a lot of people that just can't afford it. Plus, they've got morning skates, morning rink time. What dad wants to take their kids at 4:45 in the morning to hockey? A lot of dads can't. And a lot of people just can't afford it. And we don't play it when we're kids. And we don't watch it as adults. It doesn't mean I don't go to LA Kings games. But, I mean, the big four in American sports are NFL, baseball, NBA, and college football. And I would say over the next 5 years, the MLS is going to be over hockey. I'm sorry. You want to talk puck? Go for it. Don't at me, bro. It's never going to be that popular. It's Canada's sport. And finally, my bosses will be mad. The United States men's national team is never going to win a World Cup. We're not. We can compete. We can be fun. We couldn't make the last World Cup. And the way soccer works, because of our economics, they're dying for us to be in the World Cup. They want us to be in the World Cup. They give us opportunities to be in the World Cup. We got an easy bracket, and we still couldn't make the World Cup. It's U.S. soccer is political. It's dysfunctional. Just watch the games. It's like my SEC argument. Christian Pulisic came out at 18. I watched half of one match, and I'm like, he's so much better than the rest of our players. We just don't have enough now. Now, in 25 years, maybe it's different, but our best athletes don't play it. We can compete. We can win matches. But to win a World Cup, to win match after match after over Chile and Brazil and Argentina and England and Germany and Belgium and what? Winning a World Cup? I mean, I think if we had it on our soil and we were emotional and we were healthy and maybe we got a couple scheduling breaks where, you know, better teams lost players, you know, maybe we could get into a Final 8 or a Final 16. But I love the World Cup. I watch the World Cup. I'm totally into the World Cup, much more than the Olympics. I don't think we're ever going to win it. Does it? As I've said before, I can know the ending and still like a movie. Titanic, I know the ending. I've seen it more than once. I'm okay. The ending doesn't even have to be good. I watched Usual Suspects the other night. I know the ending. I still watched it. I don't have to have a happy ending. I can know the ending. I can know we're not going to win a World Cup, and I still think we'll be competitive in some. It'll be fun. I watch it. I don't just watch it for Team USA. How's that? Don't at me, bro.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Right now, he is residing down in beautiful Sarasota, Florida. I got a lot of friends down in Sarasota and Naples. Those are beautiful, beautiful areas. Urban Meyer is one of three coaches to lead multiple schools to national championships. He's got three rings, and Fox College Football's analyst is joining us, Urban Meyer. So, you know, it was interesting. The Notre Dame athletic director said, listen, we may have conferences that play and conferences that don't. I look at the Big Ten, Urban, and I think Rutgers is in Jersey. Maybe they can't play. Nebraska maybe looks at their infection rate and says, yeah, we're going to play. Could you see a conference, literally like a Big Ten, not having every school involved in a season?
I actually could. You know, I don't – everyone hopes that doesn't happen, but you need college football. And there's certain – you know, it's going to be a state by state, and I'm real intrigued to hear how they move forward with this where, you know, say the SEC, and obviously it's top to bottom, the strongest conference in America, and you take them that really have areas that have not been hammered by the virus and they want to go play football, boy, it'd be hard to say don't play. You know, matter of fact, I can't imagine that scenario. So it's going to be a state by state. It's going to be a team by team, conference by conference, I think, as this thing moves forward. And I've actually listened to a few phone calls about that, and I would believe that there's a chance that would happen.
By the way, if a Rutgers couldn't play, don't they share revenue anyway, like bowl revenue? So they would be assisted at some level, right?
Oh, you'd have to imagine that would happen. I have not heard that, and to be honest with you, I haven't even thought about that, but certainly that would wipe out, if you're not part of that revenue sharing, and a Rutgers or really anybody that counts on that, those resources, not just for football, but for other sports, that could wipe out an athletic department. So, yeah, I would imagine that would be part of it.
Urban Meyer joining us. I've said recently, Mel Kiper came out and said Joe Burrow is a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence, and I said, boy, that feels like a lot of recency bias to me. Is that there's some things about Joe Burrow I love, but I do think he's been a little bit of a one-hit wonder. And is that a fair criticism where, you know, everything works for a season? You got a really good team, a really good offensive line. You know, it just kind of the schedule works or whatever. Do you think that's a fair concern about Joe Burrow that, you know, he was in college for a long time and he didn't even pop until the last year and the second year at LSU?
Yeah, Colin, I don't believe that's criticism. I think that's factual. You know, a one-hit wonder, I mean, that's better than a no-hit wonder. I mean, he had arguably the best season in the history of college football. Yes, he was on a great team, but you can't – when you really study his film, the throws he made, that wasn't a bunch of wide-open guys. Now, he placed that ball. He scrambled. He kept plays alive. So, yeah, it was a one-hit wonder. He's a little bit later developing. But I don't look at that as concern. That's factual. Trevor Lawrence has had a three-year, you know, his freshman, sophomore, and to be his junior year. He's had, you know, if he puts together a year, that's a three-hit or three years. So there is risk involved. And I would say this about Joe. If it wasn't what happened, it would be a major risk. But reality is he had arguably the greatest season in history a quarterback's ever had. And that overrules the fact that he only did it for 1 year. So there is a risk involved, and I didn't see Mel Kiper's list. But, you know, if Trevor Lawrence has a big time year, which, you know, I imagine he will, it'd be hard not to say that he's right there with Joe Burrow or maybe better. You know, we'll see what happens.
Jarrett Stidham, according to a report this morning, New England's all in on Jarrett Stidham. If I recall, you recruited Jarrett Stidham, did you not?
We did. He's out of Stevensville, Texas, one of the best high school programs in America. We didn't get real far with him. I can't recall exactly what happened, but I remember watching his high school film. Well, very high on him. He started off at Baylor, went to Auburn. You know, the one thing, as I have said many times here in the last couple weeks, the common denominator of every great quarterback is on a great team. You know, the great quarterbacks who go to bad teams also become bad quarterbacks. And it's hard for me at times to understand the media and often the fans. They have a bad team, so it's the quarterback's fault. And you look around, and it happened at Alex Smith his first few years in New England or at San Francisco. So I think Jarrett Stidham, he put him with Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniel, that system. I think he'd get ready for, you know, I can't say he's going to be the next Tom Brady, but get ready. I'm sure he'll have a good. He did it with Matt Castle. He did it, obviously, with Tom Brady and, the quarterback at the 49ers.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, Garoppolo. I mean, they're gonna make that quarterback a good player.
So we talk about first-round wide receivers over the last 5 years. There's been three times as many busts as hits. And so, you know, you look at the first round, and we know some of these guys are not going to work. The name that keeps coming up from my people is Isaiah Simmons. Arizona took him. And he's obviously a tremendous athlete. But do you think he would be a hard guy to coach because he's Derwin James, but not that good a safety? He's Honey Badger, but is he that instinctive? What is Isaiah Simmons as a pro?
Well, I stood on the field and watched him. I also was sat in some meetings as Ohio State got ready to play him. He's the all-purpose guy. It matters. I think he's a great talent. I think how they use him is going to be key. And everyone looks for, you know, I saw the Saints having the conversation about the Stevens and the hybrid player that can do multiple things for you. We would always look for that Percy Harvin or a multiple position player that gives you great flexibility that he can go play a outside linebacker, play safety, you know, who knows, could play a nickel. And I just think he's a great talent, and how they use him is going to be key. If, you know, can he play every snap as a deep middle safety? That remains to be seen because Clemson did do that with him.
Yeah. You know, there's another guy in the first round, Damon Arnett, cornerback, Ohio State. There was a report a couple teams didn't have him on the board, character issues. What do we know about those character issues?
I know it all. It was more maturity issues. We always felt like he went to St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the best high school programs in America. He had some of that, stuff in him that we had to get out of him, and he had maturity issues. He's without doubt first-round talent because he fits right in with those six or seven first-round corners that came out of Ohio State. He was just behind mentally. He was behind maturity-wise. I think the key to him was what kind of coach, position coach, not head coach, what kind of position coach and what kind of room do you put Damon in? If Damon's in, you know, you have a Malcolm Jenkins type player, you know, just a grown man and a bunch of people that, you know, a bunch of athletes and players and a real strong position coach, I think he's going to thrive. You put him in a situation where that's not the case, there are concerns. I love Damon, but there are concerns.
You know, September 3rd or 4th, Labor Day weekend, is the start of college football. How many weeks minimum would you need to get your guys ready?
I've actually had some conversations, and the number that keeps coming up is 6 weeks. You know, football, you have safety issues involved. And 6 weeks, which puts you around that July 16th number, that gives you time to get a team ready. And that's the conditioning. That's the, you know, football is such a complex game. But the most important thing is the health and safety, you know, because, you know, a lot of these places, majority of them are going to, you know, deal with 80, 90 degree heat. To get those kids used to running, they have to be on the move. 6 weeks out is kind of a number that we've come up with.
You know, it's interesting. I thought about this college football season being in the spring, and I thought, you know who maybe wouldn't want a college football season in the spring is an Ohio State, a Notre Dame, SEC, Clemson, because you have the most pro NFL players. And I could see some kids saying, I'm not playing in February or March because if I get hurt, I can't get physically right for the combine. So what do you think about these suggestions of moving it to the spring? I think if I was Ohio State's coach and I got nine NFL guys, some guys may not want to play if the season goes to late March, right?
I agree with you 100%. If that happens, the majority of college football, I think, would be, you know, once again, it's hard to just visualize that, too, how that works. You have college basketball going on, and then you have fast turnaround, you have spring. You have kids that have to declare for the draft, kids that are graduating early that would have to now be eligible to get into grad school. There's so many hoops to jump, but what you just said is not, that's not maybe, that's a fact. If you're a potential high draft pick, will you really go put on shoulder pads and a helmet and play college football in January or February? I would say no.
You know, Urban, USC changed their defensive staff. It got younger, and they've had a very good last month in recruiting. Very good. After a couple of very weak recruiting years. And it's interesting. I've had some friends, and they're saying, well, what's going on down there? And I said, they just got younger, and I don't know how good the coaches are, but they're really good recruiters. And when you were selecting a staff, would you have guys that you thought were B coaches but A recruiters, and then mix that with some A coaches and maybe B recruiters? Is it a balance, or did recruiting matter with every coach?
I think when you're at schools where you can't pay or hire, you know, pay the market value of an elite recruiter slash coach, but the Ohio States, the USCs, the Texas, the, you know, the SEC, the Clemsons, you should be able to, and, you know, when I was at Utah, you just could not hire the all-purpose coach. At Ohio State, I never, absolutely not. If you better be, it's very easy. Are you the best recruiter at your position in America? If not, then we got a problem. We got to get this thing fixed.
Wow.
So we were all over that. When you have to, but you're also paying them hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I think, you know, I would be shocked at the upper 15 schools in America say we would accept that because I don't know how you, then you're probably not winning. You know, every conversation in college football starts with recruiting and it ends with recruiting. Everything else inside is important, but the recruiting piece is it. And then you can see who's going to continue winning. All you have to do is watch who they're recruiting.
Yeah. Good talking to you, Coach. Are your beaches open in Sarasota?
Yeah, they're open now, and I know you spent time in Naples. And
oh, love it.
I'll tell you what, man. I've never spent more than 4 days down here, and this is really beautiful area.
Yes, it is, Coach, especially when the beaches are open. Yes, it is. Urban Meyer, good talking to you, Coach.
Take care, Colin.